All right, now I think we're recording. Last time I forgot to record, so this time we're recording. But I just, you know, something that God laid on my heart, and I want it to be encouragement to each and every one of us here today as Christians. So what I'm going to do today, we're going to be looking at the life of Paul. And if you ever, you know, as a Christian, if you ever get discouraged as a child of God, man, I would encourage you to just study up on Paul. Such an encouragement, you know, to learn about where he was and where he ended up as far as the gospel. We're going to read verse 21. Now, I'm going to be bouncing back and forth. I do have a lot of scripture this morning, so if you want to get a Bible drill in, you know, feel free to welcome. She doesn't have it up on the screen there, so if you want to take a note. No, you don't have the notes. You're fine. Oh. Looks like we got some technical difficulties. But verse 21 is what I want to start with this morning. Verse 21 says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." The title of the message is "To Live is Christ." Let us pray. Dear Lord, once again, we come to you in prayer and just want to say thank you, God, for allowing us to meet in your house this morning, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you'd help me, Lord. Preach your word, Lord, with confidence and with boldness, God. I just ask that you'd move upon me and use me, Lord, your servant. And take me out of the way, God. I just pray that you'd bless your people here, Lord. And pray that something would be said to encourage someone who may be struggling, Lord. I just ask, God, that you'd use me, Lord. Work through me, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For me to live is Christ. That is the thought that I want to give us as Christians today. And, you know, to truly understand and to truly get into this, I want to look back at Paul's life, where he started. You know, so if you want to turn here, like I said, you can turn here, you can follow along. Acts chapter 8, verse number 1, it says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at the time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were scattered all abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison." Now we see where Paul got his start. Before he became Paul, he was Saul, and he persecuted the church. He persecuted those who believed Christ. You know, when we look at Paul's background, you know, he was a Pharisee. You know, he was a religious leader, something that he thought he was doing right. You know, and that's the problem with most religions today. You know, religion will send you to hell. Faster than anything in this world, religion will send you to hell. Because religion can't save you. You know, and Paul thought in his heart he was doing the work of God. You know, he grew up, he was taught under the scholars and the Pharisees. You know, he was taught their way of things. And anybody that was going against that, hey, that's a sinner. You know, he can't be trusted. You know, because that was going contrary to what he was taught. Before here, Stephen, we all know Stephen. Paul was directly responsible for the stoning of Stephen. You know, and we can go back here, verse 54. You know, Stephen gave his testimony or defense in front of the priest. And then 54 says, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God on Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul." So we see Saul was kind of keeping guard of their garments, you know, while they were stoning, you know, a Christian. You know, he had no use for what, you know, God was doing at the time. And, you know, Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, as he was dying, as he lay dying, he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, verse 60, he said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he said this, he fell asleep. Now, you know, the one thing I like as believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ, and this should be an encouraging thought to y'all, when it refers to death for us, we're just sleeping. You know, we're just gone for a little while. We're taking a nap. You know why? Because God's going to raise us up again one day. The Bible says that the Lord's going to call us up in the air, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with him forevermore. Amen. But we see where Saul was in this state of his life. You know, before he knew Christ, you know, he was going hard for the church. You know, he thought he was doing something good. We look over at chapter 9, Acts chapter 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. He didn't care. Man or woman, he was going after them, those who professed the name of Christ. You know, and that the world hates Christ. And Jesus said, the world hateth me, therefore it's going to hate it. Anybody that identifies as a Christian, the world's going to hate us. You know, and it's funny, Brother Kyle, when for those of you here that heard his messages, you know, sometimes we expect different treatment, you know, when we're, you know, trying to get the gospel out, you know, trying to live for the Lord, you know, sometimes maybe in the back of our mind we expect to be treated a little different. Well, my friend, look how they treated Jesus. They crucified him. You know, Jesus said the world's going to hate us. They're not going to treat us any better than they treated Christ. You know, we're always going to be a thorn in the flesh as far as this world goes, but we need to stand firm in the gospel. And see, Saul persecuting, you know, on his way to Damascus, he was looking for more Christians to round up, you know, get them out of here. You know, that you know, we have this term, I guess it's supposed to be offensive, you know, for me. Maybe at one point in my younger life when I was a young Christian, I didn't, you know, go to things as tactfully as I could, but somebody would call you a Bible thumper. You know, it's not a bad thing. But, you know, in my young life, you know, I was quick to anger, you know, people that knew my buttons to push them, you know, and when they would call me those things, I knew what they were doing. And I bid on it every time. You know, as children of God, you know, we shouldn't react. You know, let the Lord handle that thing, you know. But on his way to Damascus, something happened to Saul. He had a change of heart. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Right there, verse number 6, he surrendered to God. He said, What wilt thou have me do? You know, he didn't shy away from that. He asked the Lord, What will thou have me to do? As Christians, that's the thought that we need to approach God with today. What will thou have me to do? You know, we don't need to get out here and try and do things ourselves or in our own power, because, you know, if we do these things, we're just going to be discouraged and sidelined. You know, and I speak from experience. You know, being a young Christian, you know, I'm 40 now, but when I first started out, you know, I had that zeal. I wanted everybody to hear the gospel. I wanted to share it with my friends. I wanted to share it with, you know, my cousins, anybody, you know, people who wanted to listen to me. And then, you know, you get so gung-ho, like, doing these things, and then you start getting laughed at. You start getting ridiculed. You start getting mocked. You know, I started getting those things, and then it was my attitude changed. I let that affect me. And then my thought became, well, if you don't want to know Christ, then you can go to hell your own way. That's wrong. God help me for that. I can't go back in time. I can't change that. But we see Paul here, he lived this life of persecuting the church. But then here he said yes to Jesus, which we get over in our text verse, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We look at Paul's past life and we see where he came from, you know, persecuting the church, you know, and I mean, he probably had everything he needed, you know, being taken care of the church and stuff like that. But, you know, when we live for Christ, we're going to have to sacrifice some things. You know, we're going to have to give up some things. Time, you know, you might lose some friends along the way, but that doesn't matter because it's all for God's glory. And this is why this really stood out to me. For me to live as Christ, you know, we see Paul give his life, and we know what he went through as a Christian. 2 Corinthians, let me make sure I have my verse here. 2 Corinthians, verse number 23. So verse 11:23 says, Are the ministers of Christ, I speak as a fool, I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measures, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen. and perils by the heathen, and perils by the city, and perils in the wilderness, and perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren, and weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and am I not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. You know, we see Paul's life right here, some of the things he went through as the child of God. It's not going to be easy for us, but man, one thing we need to remember, the world is watching us. You know, and it's not just the world, you know, our brethren are watching us. Here in Philippians, we see, so most of Paul's time spent writing these letters, he was in bondage. You know, he was a prisoner. And, you know, he didn't complain. He didn't murmur, you know, against God, saying, Lord, I'm only doing this for you. Why am I in these shackles? Why am I bound? Help me, God. You know, I'm trying to live for you, you know. And sometimes as Christians, I think about myself, you know, and I'm using myself, you know, because God's dealt with me a lot about this. You know, the first thing when tribulation comes up, when some trial comes up, first question I ask is, why, God? You know, I don't need to ask that. I just need to trust the Lord, you know. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all in thy heart and lead not into thy own understanding. And I need to trust God because God has a plan for each and every one of us here. You know, and I think about when, you know, Paul first got saved. I think about when we first got saved, when you first got saved, you know. Sometimes I ask myself, you know, would it have been better for me to be, you know, when I said yes to Jesus, for him to take me out? He could have. Could have done that for each and every one of us here. But you know what? He has plans for each and every one of us here. It is our job and our mission to further the cause of the gospel. And Paul knew this all too well. You know, he's in this chapter right here. We know that, you know, his brethren are he's writing to, trying to encourage them. Verse number 14 says, many of my brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. My friend, when the Lord puts you in the thick of something, don't shy away from it, you know. Trust in the God. Trust the process. Because God will help you. And I can tell you right now that, like I said, the world is watching. You know, the world's always searching for that peace and that contentment and that joy, but they can't find it. That's why many of them turn to alcohol. They turn to drugs. They turn to these worldly things, thinking that this is going to help them. But it only brings pleasure for a season. My friend, the one thing that could help them, you know, experience true joy and true peace, everything that will turn their life upside down, is accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Paul knew this, you know, living the life he lived before, knew that he was God's child, and knew that, you know, hey, people were watching him. He knew that they knew he was in prison, but they were encouraged. They were speaking bold. They say, hey, if he can do it, he's in bondage. You know, if he can do these things, I can do it as well. They didn't shy away from the gospel. We have a tendency sometimes, you know, you hear the saying, when the going get tough, the tough get going. Well, sometimes when the going gets tough, we turn and go the other way. I mean, I speak from experience, you know. Sometimes it's not easy to live the life of a Christian. You know, the easiest thing in this world that you can do is say yes to Jesus, but the hard thing is to walk that walk. Now, we are to be like-minded. We are to be Christ-like. That is what God calls us to be. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. That is 2 Corinthians 5. I have it marked here. Give me a minute. 2 Corinthians 12. And I lost my page here. Forgive me. No, here it is. 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So you can see Paul's complete turnaround. He went from persecuting the church, you know, putting Christians in bondage, you know, directly contributed to the death of a Christian. And these are the things that we know about. You know, he went from Saul to the Apostle Paul. You know, God had a purpose for him. And, you know, when I think about this, you know, and we think about his life, where he was before, you know, when Jesus came to him. You know, he had to separate Paul. He had to spend some time alone with God, you know, and he separated. But then, you know, he sends him out somewhere. I believe it was Ananias had to come because he had a vision. And Ananias didn't want to go to Paul. He knew Paul's reputation. He knew he was persecuting the church. He knew he was after him. You know, he's like, Lord, are you sure? I don't want to go over there. What is he going to do to me? And he didn't know that the Lord had already worked in Paul's heart. You know, as Christians, we should be encouraged each and every day. You know, we should live for Christ. You know, and sometimes, like I said, it's not hard. It's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do. It's a hard thing to do. But verse number 25 says, "And having this confidence, I know I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of the faith." You know, when we suffer and we go through trials, you know, it helps us to be more dependent on Christ, but it also furthers the cause of Christ, you know, because when the world looks at us and they see things, they see us going through things, you know, suffering, whatever, the loss of a loved one, I'll use as an example. You know, that's hard. But we know as Christians, if we have someone in our life that we love that's saved, they're only sleeping. God's going to wake them up one day. We don't have to worry about it. They're in a place that they're not thinking of us. They're in heaven. And if the Lord gave them the choice to say, hey, you can go back down here and be with him again, you think they're going to give that up and come back down here? I don't think so. You know, they're in a much better place. But we need to remember, you know, we have hope. 1 Peter 2:5 says, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." Like I said, every day we're going to have to die to ourselves. We're going to have to give up some things if we're truly going to live for Christ. It's going to take some sacrifice. Is it going to be easy? No. You know, and I stand up here now and tell you, you know, when the Lord's been dealing with me, He has been dealing with me about a lot of things lately. And you know, I'm 40 years old now, and I think about my life and where I've come from, as far as what I've done for the Lord, the time that I've wasted. You know, when I could have been doing these things back then, it's like, no, I was focused on myself, on my needs and my wants. My friend, if you're truly going to live for Christ, you have to set those things aside and set your eyes on Him. And my friend, God will reward you in the end. Like I said, we all have that blessed hope. Paul, even as a Christian, still suffered, you know, and had things that he wanted the Lord to take away from him. Over here in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Verse number 8 says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." You know, so Saul was, you know, being buffeted by Satan, you know, and Satan's good at discouraging Christians. He's been doing it a long time. And if you let him, you know, he will pull you away from God. You know, here he was trying to pull Paul's focus away, you know. He was given this thorn in the flesh. And Paul went to the Lord and said, "Hey, take this from me." Paul asked him three times, "Take this from me," but there was a purpose for that. Verse number 9 says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Amen. You know, we shouldn't count it as a discouragement or something, you know, when hardship falls upon us. You know, God has a purpose for that. He's molding us and He's shaping us into the image of His Son. And it's a work that He's going to perform until the day of Christ. He says over here in Philippians, I tell you, we're going to be bouncing around in Scripture for a little bit. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident in this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ." You know, so we as Christians, we should always be taking that next step. You know, that next step forward. Paul had his mind, his heart, his soul, everything locked on Jesus. And as Christians, we need to be of that mindset. You know, we need to focus on God. And I don't know if anybody in here, you know, struggles, you know, with, because My thing is, there's things we deal with. You know, everybody in here wants to be liked. Nobody in here wants to be ridiculed. We all want to get along with everybody, you know. And I think of myself, you know, nobody, I don't want to, you know, go into work and be made fun of, you know, laughed at. Oh, here comes that Christian. Here comes that Bible thumper, you know. Here comes that holier than thou. I typically hear these terms, you know. Nobody wants to deal with that. But you know what? Honestly, we shouldn't care. We should stay focused on the Lord. And forgive me, like I said, he's constantly working in my life. You know, and I just, you know, I'm thankful for him. And, you know, I want this to be an encouragement to y'all. 1 John 3, 1 through 3 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." You know, think about our lives and where we were before we met Christ. Before Christ moved in, you know, just think about that a moment. You know, I think about my life now. I wasn't crazy in the world, and I'm thankful that I had a mom who wasn't perfect, but she raised me the best she could, and she kept me in church. Whether I wanted to be there or not, I was always in church. I didn't have a choice in the matter. I had to go. Couldn't get out of that, and I am thankful for that, because I think in my life, how much further would I have gone? You know, how much more wicked would I have done if it wasn't for that influence in my life? But 1 John 3 says that we should be called the sons of God. Man, that's such an amazing thing. You know, when we accept Christ, we're the sons of God, and we're made as if we can't sin. It says, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse number 3. And every man that hath this hope purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You know, we all have that blessed hope one day. You know, when the Lord steps out on those clouds and calls his bride home, you know, we're going to be just like him. You know, but why can't we start that process on this side of heaven? You know, we need to ask ourselves, hey, what can I do to be more Christ-like? Lord, what can I give up for you? You know, what would you have me do, Lord? You know, our hopes and desires and our wants, you know, those things are great. There's nothing wrong with having those things. But when it comes to advancing the cause of Christ or the gospel of Christ, you know, we need to ask ourselves, what are we willing to give up for the Lord Jesus Christ? He gave up everything for us. He gave his life on Calvary. He shed his precious blood, and he bought us with the price. My friend, we are no longer our own. We belong to Christ, and we need to ask ourselves, hey, what's our reasonable service for him? Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And that's a promise that God has given each and every one of us in here today if you're saved. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He is always with us. No matter how dark it gets, you know, no matter how discouraged you get, God is always right there with you. And we can always find some hope and some comfort in that, knowing that the Lord is right there. So that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." That is what Paul had in his mindset. He wasn't afraid what man could do, because he knew, hey, if I die, I'm going to gain. That's what the second part of the verse says right here. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He's not losing anything, my friend. He is gaining everything. You know, and it's such a blessing to think about. Nobody here, I don't want to be a martyr. Me and Brother Ricky were talking about this. I don't think anybody in here wants to be martyred for Christ. I don't want to die for what I believe, you know, for being a Christian. I mean, it's a scary thought to think that, you know, one day we might come to that. But if we did come to that, you know, how many of you could stand bold and say, you know what, hey, I mean, if I die, I'm still going to stay by the stuff. I'm still going to preach that, hey, the only way to escape the judgment of hell and the judgment of Christ is by the precious blood of Jesus Christ that he shed for each and every one of us today. And that's not a hard thing to do. But you think about Paul's life and where he's at. You know, he stood firm because he trusted in the promises that God gave him. My friend, we can have that same confidence in the Lord if we stand firm in the promises that God has given us. 2 Corinthians says, 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live," talking about us here, "we which live, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Our reasonable service. You know, each and every one of us in here has a purpose for God. We need to spend time in our Word, in the Word of God, you know, in prayer. You know, we need to fast. We need to get down on our knees and ask God, "Hey, what is your purpose for my life?" You know, it's so easy to get wrapped up and caught up in the things of the world and get distracted, you know, by the things out there. You know, I think about a dog. You know, most dogs, they love the ball. They love to play fetch. You know, and the dog could be doing this, but the minute you pick that ball up, they're locked on that ball. You know, they want that ball. Sometimes I think we're the same way. You know, we could be locked into God and what He wants for us, but then something this way takes our attention, you know, off the Lord, off our focus. My friend, we need to stay focused on God. We need to trust Him. Like I said, I know it's not going to be easy. You know, but each and every one of us in here have a walk with the Lord. And I can't help you with your walk. You know, I can't help you with your relationship with God. You know, I can encourage you and I can strengthen you and tell you the things to do that could help you. But your relationship with Christ is what you want it to be. My friend, I want my relationship to be what Paul has. You know, I don't want to fear the world. You know, I want to step out there and preach boldly the gospel of Christ. And if I lose friends because of it, so what? It's not the end of the world. You know what? And then if it came to the decision where someone put a gun in my face and said, "Hey, I want you to renounce Christ. Hey, do what you got to do." And they pull that trigger. You know what? Guess what? I'm going to wake up in heaven. That's not a scary thought. You know, the thing is on earth, I understand that, hey, you know, as a Christian, you'd be leaving some things behind. But you know what? The Bible says God's grace is sufficient for thee. So if I got taken out, you know, I don't want to get taken out. But if I did, you know, I know God's going to take care of my wife. You know, He's going to take care of my grandkids. He's going to take care of all of that. I no longer have nothing left to worry about because I'm with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Acts 20, verse 24 says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Amen. You know, he said, I count my life dear unto myself. Neither count I my life dear to myself. He wasn't afraid. Every step that Paul took was for Christ. And he wasn't afraid what man can do to him. And that's what I want to encourage each and every one of you here today. For me to live is Christ. Each and every step in here today that we take as Christians should point toward our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because like I said, this lost and dying world is looking for something. And if we're trying to hold hands with God and hold hands with the world at the same time, we're not going to get anything done. And I was thinking about this thought here. God forbid, I don't want to be the reason someone turns their back on God and then they die and go to hell. There might be that one soul out there that's searching. You know, they've had a rough life. We don't know what they're going through. They've been through the alcohol. They've been through the drugs. You know, they're still searching for that peace and contentment and that joy in their life. And then they get into church. You know, it may not necessarily be, you know, our church, you know, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing. But it might be something that, hey, they're kind of opening up to the idea of, okay, maybe there's something more here. You know, and then they're not happy here. They go to another church. They're not happy here. And it's like, man, I'm missing something. Well, what if they're watching my life? They know I'm a Christian. They know what I identify as. And they start watching my life. And it's like, well, all right, something's different about him. And then some hardship or some trial or something comes up. Or, you know, just me saying, hey, you know what, God, I'm going to hold your hand, but I'm going to do this over here at the same time. I'm going to live how I want to live. You know what? And they see that and it's like, well, you know what? He's no better than me. I guess I'm all right. And they take their last breath on this side of heaven and they wake up in hell saying no to Christ. All because I wasn't doing what I should have been doing as a Christian. And God forbid, help us. You know, help us be Christ-like. You know, help us live for Him. 2 Corinthians, give me just a minute to turn here. Oh, man. I'm sorry, y'all. I had all of my stuff marked here, and all my bookmarks have done shifted. So, forgive me. 14, 2 Corinthians 5. I think I've already read this one, but yeah, I did read this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You know, we're new creatures, you know, in God. And we're made as if we can't sin. Now, we're still sinners. But, you know, I think about the devil and how he likes to accuse us of our past, you know, things that I know I've done. He's always constantly throwing them back in my face. And it gets discouraging. You know, it gets hard, you know, to constantly deal with that. But, you know, I need to trust God. I need to learn to let the Lord have it, because there's nothing I can do about my past. The Lord Jesus Christ paid for that on the cross of Calvary. I can't change anything back then, but what I can change is what I do going from this point forward. You know, and God, help us focus more on those things. When the devil comes to you and tempts you with these things, you know, get down on your knees and pray, Lord, help me. God, help me. I know I'm not perfect, but Lord, you said you'd never leave me or forsake me. You know, give me that grace and strength to make it through this, you know. Because if the devil could sidetrack you, he's going to. Now, I think about this verse here in 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know, wouldn't we like to say that about our lives in Christ? That we fought the good fight, and that we finished our course, and that we've kept the faith. Man, God, help us and encourage us. You know, I think about the, you know, our young ones in here, you know, because I was young many, 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 many years ago. I mean, I don't feel super old now, but sometimes 40 catches up to you, you know. But I used to hear a preacher friend of mine, you know, say, you can't miss something that you've never done. And I never, as a kid, I never fully understood that, you know. It kind of went over my head. But then as I got older, you know, and got into my teen years, and I understood exactly what he meant. You know, the Bible tells us to abstain from the appearance of evil. You know, anything that looks evil, it says the appearance, stay away from it. You know what? We need to mold our lives after the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think about the one thing that Jesus did when he was here on this earth. What was Jesus always doing besides preaching the gospel, besides telling them what was he always doing? He was always thinking of others. You know what? We need that love of Christ in us, that unconditional love. We need to be thinking about the souls that are lost and dying out there. As Christians, we need to think about them. We need to put them first in our lives. You know, pray for them. You know, give them tracts. You know, anything. You know, we need to be focused on that. God said He came to seek and save that which is lost. If He saved us and we didn't have a purpose, don't you think we'd already be home with Him? And the minute we said yes to Jesus, yoink, gone. But each and every one of us here have a purpose for Christ. Let's not forget that. You know, let's just be encouraged. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We don't have to fear what man can do to us, because the worst thing they could do to us on this side of heaven is kill us. You know, they can't take your salvation. The most encouraging thing about that is, you know, we're in God's hand, right? We're sealed, and they can't do anything to break that seal. So that should be an encouragement to each and every one of you here. And sometimes it's hard, you know, like I said, it gets pretty dark out there, you know. We see the news all the time, which I'll tell you, if you're here and you're watching the news and you're struggling with, you know, having that peace, is, you know, and you're just kind of turmoil, just turn the TV off. Get in your Bible. Read your Bible. Read what the Lord says, and I guarantee you'll be encouraged. He's encouraging me. I know I'm not perfect. I know there's things in my life that He's still working with me on, but I want to have a life that's pleasing to God. I want to finish my course. I want to finish my race strong in the Lord. Verse number 27 of Philippians 1 says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversary, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now ye bear in me." We're going to suffer. There's no getting around that. And I don't want to sound discouraging. I don't want to sound like a doomsayer or nothing like that. But we're going to suffer for Christ's sake. But I can tell you one day, it will be worth it all. It will be worth it all when we close our eyes on this side of heaven and open them with our Lord Jesus Christ. Sister Allison, if you'll come and play for us. You know, my challenge for you today, you know, as Christians in here, what are you going to say to the Lord? Are you going to yield to Him? Are you going to let Him have His will and way in your life? Are you going to let Him lead you? Are you going to fully entrust in Him, you know, God, each and every one of your steps? Or are you just going to keep taking the reins from Him? Are you going to treat Him like a spare tire? You know, I've used the illustration before that, you know, sometimes as Christians, we have the habit of treating the Lord as a spare tire. You know, He goes with us, but He's back here in the trunk. And we only pull Him out when we need Him. When something comes up, "All right, Lord, you can get out now. I need you. All right, help me with this." And the Lord is still gracious and merciful enough to help you with that. And then you're like, "All right, it's time for you to get back in here." Let's not treat Him like that. Our reasonable service is to do everything that He asks us to do. To live for Him, to live a separate and holy life, to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we should do. We should further the cause of the gospel, not turn people away from it by living wicked and you know, deceitful. You know, God help each and every one of us in here. And I have one more thought here, and then we'll close here. Paul would have been better off if Jesus would have taken him on that Damascus road. And you say, why is that? Well, all the suffering would have been gone. You know, all the things that he went through would have been gone. He wouldn't have to do it. He'd have been with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, he'd have been in glory. But Jesus had a purpose for him there. First question you should ask yourself, have you been born again? And then the second question you need to ask yourself, what purpose has He left you here for? Each and everyone has a purpose in here today. I just pray that you would ask the Lord to help you find it. That is my challenge to you. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. That's my challenge for you this morning. We'll have a offer call, and then we'll be dismissed.